roomcast.com.
It's like your room.
Welcome to the Karamcast, episode 16. Can you believe it's episode 16, Amy?
I cannot believe already.
You're back from a whirlwind tour of Boston.
I am, and boy was it a whirlwind. I'm still a little jet lag, so.
I heard you traveled on Virgin Airlines.
I did. Virgin Airlines is pretty psychedelic, to say the least, and high tech. At the seats, everything is much more technological. You can chat with your neighbor. Just say someone's in first class and you just want to get to know them. It's like one of those bars where you would call the phone and someone would pick up. You just pick whatever seat and just go at it, start chatting away.
Really?
Yeah. And whatever drink you want, you just push a button and you order your food, your drinks. The only downfall is anything you want to buy, movies, $8 a movie.
So it's not like when we traveled on JetBlue to Vegas, where you just have every channel playing for free?
They do have a select amount of regular TV channels.
Yeah.
Not a good selection, so there's not a lot going on. And then they have premium TV shows, which is your Lost, your Heroes, shows like that. You have to pay money for it.
And you were watching Ted, you said?
Yeah, that was free, so I was excited. I watched Ted with Bill Gates.
Ted is the entertainment and design conference where they have the biggest people in the world talk about new ideas, changing the world, making it a better place, and so on.
My favorite one that was really inspiring was the one with the author of Eat, Pray, Love.
Mm-hmm.
That was amazing.
What's it about?
It's about creativity and where it comes from. And when you're a creative artist, you're only as good as your last biggest thing.
Yeah.
And she just goes into how back in Grecian times, creativity was thought as this outward thing, and you would summon it, and by chance it would be given to you for a said period of time, and then it would move on, and that you just have to keep on showing up for your job, which is doing what you love and being creative. And she was going on about Olé to you, and I wanted to cry.
Oh.
But there was a lot of people around.
Nice. So we wanted to wrap up what we started off last week talking about, some final things about NAB that we couldn't get to.
We actually got a caller.
Oh yeah, let's listen.
Hi, Karam and Amy. This is Aphrodite in Baltimore. I was just curious. I just listened to episode 15 from the NAB for in Vegas, and how did you get so lucky to get invited to that? I just wanted to know that. Great, great, great podcast, guys. Look forward to the next one. Bye bye.
Well, thanks for calling, Aphrodite. To answer your question, it's really easy, actually, to get to NAB as far as getting in. It's actually free. It doesn't cost anything. If you go to their site at nabshow.com, you can register for the exhibition floor, and they'll send you a free pass and badge, exhibitor badge, in the mail. And then you just got to get yourself to Vegas. But usually getting to Vegas is pretty cheap. Typically, tickets there are $120 or so.
Round trip,
because they want you to come and spend your money in the casinos. But actually getting into NAB is not that difficult. What we were able to do this year was that because of the blogs that I've built and because I made this podcast, and this is just stuff I do independently, doesn't cost a lot to make, but takes a lot of work. And having spent about 8 or 9 months developing them and developing a reader base and a listener base and so on.
Blood, sweat, and tears.
I said to the NAB show, we'd like to cover this, and we have this many viewers, and I was able to show them my metrics by using Google Analytics and stuff like that to say, here are the number of people that really listen. These are real numbers. And they said, sure, we'll give you a media pass. And that media pass was what gave us access to all the super sessions and the seminars and the luncheons.
Which you didn't even know.
I had no idea that we'd get that much access.
But I said, we're going into all this stuff.
Yeah. The thing is, any of you out there could get into that same position. If you've got a blog and you're working it hard and it's not really just about your day-to-day, but, you know, you've really got some opinions and people are reading and you spend the time to build an audience, then You really are media. You're getting the word out there to quantifiable, measurable number of people, and that's of interest to the companies that are launching new products.
And you're going there with a purpose, and you want to learn more so you can get it out there.
So thanks for your call. I'll be sure to list the number for the podcast in case anybody else wants to leave their voicemail questions.
Yeah, everyone should call in. It's fun.
But I also want to add, in addition to just registering for NAB and everything, how I found out about it. I found out about it because my mom, who was developing a cable network up in Canada, a Hispanic cable network, actually was invited to the BLT program, which is the Broadcast Leadership Training Program. And this is an amazing program for women and minorities to learn how to not just run, but purchase and build their own television networks and stations. And Diane Suter, who creates the program and ran the program, does this in 10-month cycles. The amazing thing about Diane Suter, who won the leadership award this year at the NAB, mm-hmm. is that she does this completely voluntarily. She teaches all of these people. She flies to Washington once a week or once a month, I think. I'm not sure if, I think it's once a week or once a month. I'll find out. But, and she does this without any compensation. She does this out of her own interest to develop new voices in television to reflect cultural diversity. And my mom said it was an incredible program. And I've met some of the other people that she went to this through this program with. And they now own 5 or 6 independent stations in Texas and in Baltimore and all over the U.S. and the world, and are doing quite well. So I just wanted to say kudos to Diane Suter for doing that.
Yeah, that's pretty upstanding of someone.
But if you're also interested in developing your own enterprise on that level, I mean, look into it. The BLT program, Broadcast Leadership Training, it's pretty extraordinary, and you might get yourself some crazy knowledge that could take you who knows where.
Yeah, thank you for that.
So a couple of the things that we didn't get to last week, which I wanted to talk about that I thought were really cool, was we got to sit in on the Jim Henson Creature Workshop people and listen to Peter Brook and Brett Nelson, who are two guys that have been there for quite a long time, show off some of the new motion capture techniques that the Henson Creature Workshop is using, which is really different than what most people do when they're doing animation for video games and stuff like that.
It's very much puppetry, but with kind of a virtual puppet.
It's a digital form of puppetry, and they had a guy who was just outside the room where they were talking, and he was controlling the head and the mouth.
And the facial expressions.
And the facial expressions. And then they had a person who was in a full body suit inside of a, I'd say 8 by 8 foot motion capture square. Mm-hmm. And she was doing the feet and the hands and the moving around. And so while they were talking and answering questions, they had a big screen up above them. And this digital character that had tons of great, very humanistic motion.
And he's supposed to be a 4-year-old.
Was looking back and responding. And he's supposed to be a 4-year-old.
And so he had all the characteristics of a 4-year-old. And what was so cool to me was that these two people are on opposite sides of a room. They can't see each other. But they were so in sync with movements and facial expressions.
I actually asked them, do you think one day we'll see a turnkey system where I could buy the Jim Henson Creature Workshop technology in my home? And they said, well, not really, because the thing that is really going on here is the talent and the skill set of these puppeteers. So it was more of a come to the Creature Workshop to get your work done for your next project, as mm-hmm. opposed to them selling a product or something.
Right.
They were telling us about how at the Henson Studios on La Brea here in Hollywood, they'll have a giant room. I think it's 60 feet by 20 or 30 feet high. And they can have 6 or 7 actors doing this all at once. And so when they're actually shooting this digital 3D cartoon called Sid the Science Kid, right?
Oh, yeah. That's the big thing now.
Yeah.
They were talking about it.
When they're shooting it, they're shooting it like a sitcom. So instead of capturing it and then a bunch of animators going in and fixing things and moving hands around or whatever, they just do another take. And then once they have a take that they like, that's what they use. That's it. They don't really finesse it anymore. They'll do a render pass to make it look shiny and clean. But it's like acting. And that's how they're capturing it. And so it also looks very believable in the sense that it's got natural sort of gravity to it and all the twitches that people might do, and they let that all in into the show. You know, if one of the actors is scratching their butt or they're shaking their hands or they're nervous or whatever, that's all getting captured. It was really incredible.
Yeah, my applause goes to those actors that are in the suit and are doing the facial expressions, because it must be a lot of training and a lot of work to be able to do that.
Yeah, it's years and years. But they said that in the old days, when they were doing, for example, Dark Crystal and The Storyteller and all of that, and they started working with animatronics and relaying over radio signal the facial expression stuff, it would still take 10 or 15 people to animate one of these
Yeah.
characters. Now it takes two. And you don't have this army of animators working on each little component. So that was amazing. It was real time
They've
capture.
always been the pioneers of puppetry, I think.
Yeah, and now they've moved it completely into the digital realm as well, which is great. So that was really fun and really impressive. We also saw something really neat on the last day. There was a German company that had modified the Segways.
Oh, yeah, they almost ran right into me.
So for anybody who doesn't know, the Segway is an invention of Roger Kamen's, which is a hydrogen-powered moving
People mover.
platform. It's a people mover. And they thought it was going to revolutionize the cities and transport. And it may still. It's just that the cities aren't quite built for Segways yet.
Well, cops here in LA are starting to use them.
Yeah, you see them all over. Like at the convention, you saw them riding back and forth on these things. And there's lots of videos online about people doing nasty face plants on them. But the Segway 2 just came out and it's much stabler and it's got a slightly different build to it. But what these guys did was they modified them so that you didn't actually have to use your arms. Rather than it looking like one of those scooters with the hands on the bars and the whole thing, they actually did it so you can actually drive it with your thighs and your knees. So there's these little things that are squeezing in between your knees and they're controlling your left and right turns and your acceleration. And then they had a Steadicam that was mounted on it so that basically you've got these Steadicam operators who can zoom back and forth at top speeds on this very stable platform.
And they're not carrying so much weight because it all seemed to level itself out.
Right. So the actual Segway is what's sustaining and supporting the weight of the Steadicam. So that's going to create all kinds of incredible opportunities for Steadicam operators and for film shots that we haven't seen before.
And probably save a lot of shoulders.
Yeah. I think they were selling for only $5,000 or $6,000 or $7,000, which that sounds like a lot of money, but considering, you know, the Steadicams themselves are up in the $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 ranges and more, that's not a lot to ask for the actual Segway component.
And think about it, still in the first stages. I mean,
Right. I think those were prototypes, but not really, because they were actually selling. They said, "We have a show sale. If you buy one today," I said, "Yeah, let me just whip out my wallet
yeah,
and
we just have to mail it to you.
I'll just pop one of these in the
Sure.
suitcase and off we go." But another thing like that was the last movie that Jason Statham did, Crank 2. I was interested to find out that they used my favorite Canon HV20, my little Canon
You love
HD
it.
camcorder, for that film. For a large part of that film, they were using those little Canon camcorders. I write about this stuff at a website called thehv20experiments.com, where I try to show you that you can take this camera and shoot something that is as good or can be used all the way to film, you know, for theatrical presentation. So one of the cool things that they did in Crank was they would build these semicircles out of metal, and they'd mount like five or six of these cameras on it, and then they could turn it and hold it around the actor as he's running or doing karate kicks. And they got this really cool effect where you're seeing the actor from five or six angles all at the same time, and then they can intercut and get this really fresh new look. But the really interesting part about that is that they were using camcorders that you can buy for $400 all the way to the end of the production, so that that's what you're actually seeing in the theaters.
Now, were they modifying the camera in any way, like putting on different lenses or things
Not
like
really,
that?
no. They're just the cameras. There's not really anything that you would mod.
Well, you know, on your site, you talk about little tricks that you do, like the cell phone trick and stuff like that. Do you think for such a big production movie that they would have to do some of those tricks?
I think they just had to be careful to shoot it very neutral and to make sure that the shutter speed was set properly for film. I won't get into all of that right now, but one of the things, for example, is if film is 24 frames per second, you usually want to shoot 1/48th shutter on the camera, because the double the speed of film is what ends up looking like proper film.
Mm-hmm.
So things like that they would keep in mind and whatever. But that was a cool thing to see there. And I just found that the little jib that they were using was interesting and it was news to me. So there's so much more to talk about at the NAB thing, but I don't think we're going to get into it because it honestly can go on forever.
And if you do have any questions, like we said before, just call in.
Yeah, please do.
Or write on the site, leave us a comment because we'll gladly just type
Actually,
away.
Let's talk about the new forums at KaramCast.
Yes, forums.
We put up a forum. One of the most important things that you want to do when you start building your own brand, whether that's just your name or the name of your cat or the product you want to sell or whatever, is to build community around it.
Networking community.
And we're not just talking about social web and social networking, but to have people, to give people a place to share their own voice and their own ideas beyond just commenting on a post.
You can go on there and type an idea that you might have that we wouldn't even have thought of.
I learned an awful lot from the forum that I run at the Constant Change site. The freedom.constantchange.com is a place that's been around for a long time, almost 10 years now. And so much of the information that I get exposed to and that I work out and that I discuss happens there. And then I take that out into the rest of the world.
Every time I go on that thing, I'm too scared to even type because I just learn so much and read so much.
Anyways, the point is we've got forums now at the KaramCast and we invite you guys all to come out there and join us in discussions. This week also, Sony Online Entertainment released a new game to the public called Free Realms, which you'll find at freerealms.com. What it is a giant virtual world that you can walk around in. You can do this from your PC. It looks kind of like World of Warcraft. And if you've never played World of Warcraft, essentially you have a little character and you move them around in a 3D world and it's really pretty and there's butterflies and waterfalls and whatever. And they are in collaboration and partnership with tons and tons of other game companies and their own properties. They've got Disney on side. They've got the EverQuest series on there. They've got all the mini games that you've come to know and love, like Bejeweled and things like that.
I like to cook. I just cooked on there and it was really fun.
You can play all kinds of different character classes. You can be a ninja, an explorer, a cook, like Amy said. And they just change on the fly depending on what activity you're interested in. They also have a trading card game like Magic the Gathering, and all of that's wrapped up in one. So it's pretty fun. We've been trying it out, and unfortunately, the first week, the servers have been a little bit up and down and glitchy, but if they get it working, it's going to look awesome. I tried running it on my quad-core computer with a really good NVIDIA card, and it looks awesome, awesome, especially considering it was about a 30 meg download, and I'm running it through a website. You can also become friends with your own friends in the game, and you can build a guild, and you can do all sorts of stuff. So who knows, maybe I'll start playing Free Realms with some of our listeners, and we can build our own guild. And
that'll be fun.
We can hang out that way instead of on Facebook or whatever.
The only problem is, for you Mac users out there, it doesn't work. It only works for Windows.
Not yet.
Not yet, I'm saying.
They'll port it over to Mac soon enough.
Gosh, I need a new laptop.
One other thing I wanted to say about you being in Boston was you ended up buying a copy of the Boston Globe.
The Boston Globe. I drove by it and I tried to take a picture, but I was in a limousine and he was driving too fast. No, I bought a Boston Globe and the guy that
this
I bought
a, it. This is a very, very old American newspaper.
Yeah, and it's from my hometown. And the guy who I bought it from, he says, yeah, be glad you got that. It might be one of the last ones. Profound.
Which is really intense because that means some of the biggest and oldest, best-known newspapers are actually going out of business. For
real. I know,
real.
It's the Boston Globe.
We predicted this, that this could happen, but that's... I was shocked this week when I found out that The Onion, my favorite satirical paper, was going to stop having its print editions in San Francisco and Los Angeles due to lack of advertisers.
And just do it online?
But this is the Globe.
I know.
But the reason I'm bringing this up is at the same time that that's happening, Amazon has announced Kindle 2, which is Kindle DX. And this is apparently greatly improved over the first version of Kindle, as could be expected. This version is about the size of a magazine. It's about 8.5 by 10. The resolution's better, the Wi-Fi is better, the storage is better. It's 1/3 of an inch thick. So it's really barely thicker than a regular magazine.
Would
I'm not talking Cosmo or Vogue or what. I'm talking like...
Wafer thin.
Yeah, wafer thin. And It's got automatic orientation, so if you hold it upright, it shows it that way. If you turn it sideways, it'll show it landscape and portrait, whatever. The new thing, too, is you can now read PDF files on it, Word documents.
So it's hooked up wirelessly.
It's hooked up wirelessly.
Go on the web if you want.
Well, you can't browse the internet, per se, but what you can do is Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon, promised any book you order through your Kindle will be on your Kindle within 60 seconds, no matter where you are.
Wow.
And there's about 275,000 titles on Amazon that you can download. You can store 3,500 books on your Kindle. Can you imagine what 3,500 books would look like in your apartment? And that's a lot of reading. But you can also subscribe to the New York Times and all the major newspapers, even magazines, and you will actually get those editions before they actually come out in print. So you can be ahead of the curve that way. You can also subscribe to blogs. I did this last night. You can actually subscribe to blogs, and the bloggers get a cut of... So you have to pay to get blogs on your Kindle, but the bloggers are able to actually participate in that revenue. So that's something to know if you're a blogger, and also as a user, you could be reading theculturepin.com on your Kindle live as it gets posted. It's kind of weird because it's not a little laptop. You're not going to be able to check your MySpace on it. But the point of it is, and it's even black and white, or it's actually grayscale, but the way that it looks to the eye, it means there's no eye strain. It's not backlit.
That's what I was wondering.
It's like, supposed to look just like ink to the eye.
Oh, wow.
It's this diagonal display, and the resolution of it is such that it would hurt your eyes no more to read a Kindle than it would to read a paperback book, as opposed to when you're looking at your BlackBerry all day and eventually your eyes start to go buggy.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing I'm waiting for with the Kindle is for it to be completely waterproof, because my favorite place to read is in the bath.
Oh, I thought you were going to say underwater.
Yeah, my favorite place to read is when I'm snorkeling. it's because when I'm in the bath,
no,
it's like the one time I'm not multitasking and doing a million other things, and I can just sit there and chill. And honestly, that's the real reason I haven't yet bought a Kindle, because I need a waterproof version.
That's a good idea. Why don't you create it?
Or if I'm sitting at a bus stop and it's raining out and I want to be reading a magazine, or if I'm whatever, I don't want to have to worry about my technology and my 3,500 books, you know, eating it.
Right.
Considering that the new Kindle is going for about $475, it's still not at a price point where you can just toss it away if something goes wrong. It's pretty expensive. Now, for about $200, you could buy an HD Flip Minnow.
Hello, I was just thinking that. All I wished I had while now is home.
Yeah, we're talking a point-and-shoot camera-sized HD video camera.
I want them to come out with a phone that has an HD camera on it, so I am able to take good HD video as long as I want. Give me a little cartridge and be able to instantly upload it.
I guarantee you it's already out there.
I know.
We just have to find it. Well, I promise we'll report back on this.
If anyone knows of such a thing, please let me know.
I can guarantee it. There's also the new Nokia, which is like it's about the size of a Sidekick. It's got a little fold-out QWERTY keyboard, and it gives you full internet access. It can run Google Android on it. It's supposed to be really, really fast. It looks way better and works much faster than the iPhone for browsing the web. And it's got really cool navigation and stuff. That thing only goes for about $250.
See, there's a lot of cool phones out there, but I am such a BlackBerry snob that I've shunned them all.
Well, the Nokia I'm talking about isn't actually a phone. That's what's interesting about it. All that it is a micro web browser.
Oh.
It's like before when they were trying to make the cell phone into the camera, into the whatever,
Videos,
the video games and all that. Now we've got this next generation where it's the HD version and it's the higher resolution version and it's the more storage version, and they're all coming out as separate apps again, but in devices. I want to see, I don't know, what would you prefer? I'd like to hear from you guys. Would you prefer to have a specialized HD camera that you can buy for $200 and that's all it does and it's really good at it? Or would you rather them try to stick that into a laptop-y, Wi-Fi, book reading, phone calling thing like the iPhone, but more advanced? Which one would you guys prefer?
I just want something where I can upload it with no wires. I don't have to plug it in, slow down my computer. I just want instant gratification.
No wires for the win. I hate wires. Running a studio, there's wires all over the place. It's
they
like a spaghetti factory exploded.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all for this week. We just wanted to wrap up the NAB stuff for you, and we want to thank you for listening. And please do call in and leave your voicemails. We do listen to all of them. We have a bunch stored for future episodes on other topics that we want to cover. Also, you can follow Amy on Twitter at SingsWithLove. You can follow me at Constant Change. And the Karamcast has its own Twitter stream, which is at Karamcast, KeramCast. Visit our website, karamcast.com, and you can also subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Just look for it in the search line. If you'd like to call and leave a message with your thoughts, feedback, ideas for new episode topics, and so on, call the Karamcast at 310-929-7268. That's 310-929-7268. Thanks a lot for listening, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Check you later.